turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're beginning verse 8. And we'll finally get off of verse 7 and moving into verse 8. Just last week, you remember I reviewed a little bit with you. This chapter is dealing with two ladies in the church who was having some problems with each other and causing disunity within the church, not only between themselves, but apparently the whole church was involved in this. They all knew these women. I suspect that they had taken sides, one with Eutychia and the other with Syntyche. And so they were having some very serious problems. And the Apostle Paul addresses these problems. He sort of hinted to it all the way through this book that there ought to be unity in the church. But now he's addressing these two women. And he speaks directly to them in verse 1. In verse 2, he speaks directly to them. Verse 1, he addressed the church, again the brethren, but in verse 2, he addresses the two women. He gives them three commandments. There are actually four commandments that are given in this section. Three of them relate directly to them. All of them relate to them. Some of them are applicable to all of us, and we'll see as we go down through. The first three are directed towards them. First is that they ought to rejoice always and rejoice again. He is sure that they need to find their joy. And this is a present imperative. It's something they ought to do immediately. And it's urgent. And not only should they do it immediately, but they should continue to do it. The present imperative indicates continuous action. The second thing that he encourages them is found in the next verse. It's in verse 6. I'm sorry, not the next verse, but verse 6. Let your moderation be known. The verb be known there is an aorist passive imperative. The aorist tense with the imperative shows urgent need. Do it immediately. And the passive voice indicates that it ought to be made known. It ought to be acted upon. They have to make sure that becomes a reality so that people can see their moderation, that it may be known to all men. To everyone in the church in particular. And then the third imperative is found in verse 6. I'm sorry, I got those verses mixed up. Verse 5 is let your moderation be known to all men. In verse 6, be anxious for nothing. The words there, or be careful for nothing, those words are actually a present active imperative. Again, something they need to do. They need to do it immediately. And it needs to continue in their life. Be careful. Stop worrying. We translated it as stop worrying. We don't have to worry about anything as believers. And apparently these three things have affected these ladies. They weren't rejoicing in the Lord. There was no moderation. They weren't showing their moderation. They were fighting with each other. And they were not careful. They were worrying about who's going to get the upper hand all the time. So there was a constant battle going on between these two women, and it was causing these problems within the church. In verse 8, the Apostle Paul addresses the entire church. When he begins with the word brethren, he's not just talking to the two ladies, although they're involved in that, but he now is going to address the whole church. Now the key to this verse is the word think. And it moves on down to the last part of that verse. Think on these things. The word think there is an imperative also. And we're going to spend some time on that a little bit later on. Right now, I just want to mention to you, it's a present middle imperative. It's something they have to do themselves. They ought to do it, and they ought to keep on doing it. So it's a process that goes on. Last week, I introduced this subject to you. I sort of went back and said there's a war going on for our minds, how we think. And we're attacked constantly through the television, through the radio, through our advertisements and magazines, through the newspapers, in every aspect, billboards along the road. They're trying to change our thinking in regard to our value system. And it's important for us to understand that. Our value system, it has worked. I mentioned last week the little phrase, we've come a long way, baby. And I was thinking about that as I was reading over my notes early this morning, and I was thinking about that. We have come a long way. We have come a long way. Not in the right direction sometimes, but we've come a long way. I was thinking about years ago when I first came to Lancaster County, and you all remember the blue laws. Stores were not open on Sunday. It's not that I'm opposed to that, but I'm just saying that our thinking has changed. Many of you will go home and have lunch today, and you may go shopping this afternoon. I mean, there's some great sales. My wife always surprises me. She said, "Do you know that Kohl's is having a sale?" And I said, "Really? I can't believe Kohl's is having a sale?" I mean, during the day goes by that they don't have a sale, I don't think. It's in the paper. But you'll go to Kohl's or to another store. They're all open today, Park City or wherever it might be. Your thinking has changed. Your values have changed. The impression that we get through advertisement is that you can find the right mate through the right organization. They influence you on the food that you eat, the stores that you shop in, the clothes that you wear, the glasses that you wear, the jewelry that you wear. I mean, you name it, the cars that you drive, the kind of house that you live in, the kind of furniture that you have. There's a constant bombardment upon our minds to change the way that we think and to change the values that we have in life. And our values definitely have changed. Some for good, some for bad. I'm not a legalist, as you know. But when I came to this church, and some of you remember, all the little ladies would come into the church, and they all had their bonnets on Sunday morning. Every man wore a tie and a shirt and a jacket. And you certainly wouldn't find anyone in the church with a t-shirt or a polo shirt. We were all dressed up, and that's how we came. And some of you remember, am I right, Bobby? Bob remembers that, and he was here. And some of our values have changed, and I'm not opposed to all values changing, if they're within the realm of the Scriptures, and if the Scriptures don't forbid it, and you know, I'm all right with that. But our values have changed, and this war for our minds is a constant thing. How do you think? What do you think? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And the flashes come, the little subtleties that come on our television screens and in our newspapers, always trying to get us to move in one direction. You know, Big Mac is better than Burger King, and a Burger King Wendy's is better than, you know, it just goes on and on. And which one do you want to choose? And there's a fight that's going on, and it's a constant battle for our minds. So Paul is coming to the conclusion of his epistle. In verse 8, he says, "Finally, lopoi." It has the idea of a conclusion. He used it back in chapter 3, verse 1. It's the same word back there. But it's a conclusion to a thought sometimes, not necessarily the conclusion to the letter. Now he's sort of drawing things to a conclusion again. He isn't done writing yet. He got some more verses to cover. But he wants to conclude his thoughts in regard to these two women and how they're conducting themselves. From chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 9, this is that section. Now he's coming to a conclusion in verse 8. He's drawing a conclusion. And he wants us to understand that how you think is so important. How you think is so important. We know from Proverbs, I'll give you a few verses, Proverbs 23, verse 7, "As a man thinketh, so is he." And so this battle goes on and on and on and on. We have noticed that as we've studied this passage of Scripture, that the mind is the heart. We talked about the heart and the personality of a man. It's pretty corrupt. If you turn to Mark chapter 7 with me quickly, Mark chapter 7. I quoted you last week a number of theologians, and one of the great theologians of our time, an American theologian, Mark Twain. I quoted him, "What a wee little part of a person's life are his acts and his words. His real life is led in his head and is known to none but himself. All day long, the mill of his brain is grinding, and his thoughts, not those of other things, are his history." It's what's in your mind that's so important. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Mark chapter 7 gives us a little idea of what is going on in the minds of men. How they think, their thoughts. And Jesus said to pronounce these words. That which proceeds out of a man is that which defiles the man. It's not what goes into him, it's what comes out of him. And he's answering that question about food and so on. And he says, it's not what goes into a man that defiles the man, but it's from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. And I've mentioned to you so many times, you ought to put a colon there, because all the other things are the kind of thoughts that he has. These evil thoughts. What are those evil thoughts? Well, those evil thoughts are fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these things proceed from within and defile the man. Now, we've noticed that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And it's there, and it's constantly fighting us. Paul describes the man. Will you turn to Romans chapter 1 with me? Paul describes the man in verses 29 to 31 with the same idea. But I want you to look at it, because I want you to look at this little word, pleroo, in this verse. Romans 1, 29 to 31. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. Now, you see the little word filled? That's the word pleroo. It means to be filled to the brim, right up to the top. You couldn't put another drop in that mine without it overflowing. And let me tell you something. It's a perfect tense. A perfect tense. The perfect tense indicates that something that happened in the past, with the result that it remains. Are you with me? Now I'm going to give you some things, and this is going to be, for some of you, it's going to just be review, so you be patient with me. I've drawn these little things up over the years, and I've used them for a long time, so... An unbeliever looks something like this. And the Bible indicates what we're like. It's a mirror to the soul of man. You can look in a mirror and you can see your outside, but the Bible describes what's happening or what's inside of a man. And as he describes man, there are certain characteristics about the human being. A man, any man that's born in this world, he has certain characteristics. And I've gone over these, but we know, first of all, that he has a personality. Everyone that is born in this world has a personality. That personality is comprised of his intellect, his emotion, and will. That's the heart of man that we described earlier in verse 7. That's what he's like inside. He has intellect. All of you have intellect. Some more, some less. Some of you use more, some of you use less. But you all have intellect. You all have a sense of emotion. You get angry, there's joy, there's all kinds of things within you. You all have that. You all have a will. That's a decisive thing that you make certain decisions in your life. You have things you have to decide, whether you're going to buy a Big Mac or a Burger King. What do they call them at Burger King? Whopper, yeah, okay. I don't go there very often. I don't go to McDonald's very often either. Believe me, we don't go there. But anyway, and we also know that inside of a human being that he has a nature, and it's corrupted nature. We call it the old sin nature. And every person that is born in this world has an old sin nature. He has a tendency away from God. It's opposed to God, and we describe that in the child, just a two-year-old, or not even a two-year-old, a six-month-old baby sitting in a high chair. You can see the old sin nature coming out of him very easily. He looks around and sees if anyone's watching, and then he pushes his dish off on the floor. You can see it in the child almost immediately. Doesn't take long to sense that child knows the difference between right and wrong, and he's bent towards doing that which is wrong. You don't teach a child to do wrong. You have to teach a child to do right. And it takes discipline, it takes work on that child to get him to be able to exist within a society without doing harm to others. He has this old sin nature. We know that he has a human spirit. He's alive. He has a conscience. We talked about the conscience earlier in our messages. He's a living soul. God breathed into man, and he became a living soul. And he has those characteristics inside of him. We also know from Scripture that there's an old man that's inside of him. That old man connects him to Adam. And in Adam, what? All die. In Christ, all are made alive. So there's a change in there. That old man is there. We also know that Satan energizes all the children of disobedience. So he has the capability. He doesn't indwell all of us. He's not omnipresent. But he has access to us. He can get within us if he wants to. And he can live within us, and he can train us up the way he wants to train us. I've told you in the past, I'm not into the horoscopes or things like that, but I'm interested in things, and I was interested in my makeup, and I got a book on the signs of the zodiac, and I read that, and I read my personality out of that book, and I couldn't believe it. I mean, it described me to a T. Now, I know it's broad, and I know all that, but listen to me. It said that I was interested in mathematics. I minored in mathematics in college. That was my favorite subject. It told me that I was interested in sports. It told me that I was interested in outdoors. I was an Eagle Scout. It told me that I was interested in spiritual things. And I thought, that's not a coincidence. And I got to thinking about that. And I know that Satan is very active in the world. And I know that he is able to do things that are way... He has power that's far beyond anything we can imagine. And I do believe that Satan actually helps or deals with us in our very infant state to get us moving in the direction he wants us to go. And he sort of forms our personality. I think it was awfully frustrating to him because God used my personality in so many ways. He used sports to get me to the place where I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He used mathematics and business to get me a job at LBC, to work at the business office and to teach at LBC. He got me to salvation through my sports and through those kind of things. And here he formed me. And yet, God used all those things under the directive hand of God to make me the way he wanted me to be. And it's amazing to me. Now, I can't say that's true of all of you. You'd have to do that on your own. And I don't think that you make a hard and fast rule of that. I'm just telling you that when I read my horoscope, it just sort of shook me. And I said, well, how can that possibly be? And all I know is that I am of my father, the devil. I was like him, and so he formed me. But anyway, Satan lives within us. Now there's a change that takes place, and when you become a believer, I said that when you're a non-believer, you're a circle because you live in a round world. When you become a believer, you become a square, and you don't really fit in anywhere. I mean, you're there, and you don't have anything. And there are certain things about us. We still retain our old personality. The personality that we retain is on the left side. The personality that is expanded in our life is on the right side. That's a divine work on us that God does when we're born again. He also, we receive a new nature, a divine nature. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit lives within us. And our body becomes His temple. We also retain our old sin nature. We didn't lose that. That's still there. We also have our human spirit, we have our conscience, and we have our soul. We also know that Satan now is on the outside. He cannot dwell within us because God's within us, and God would not permit that to happen. Two cannot dwell in the same building. We also know from Romans 6:6 that the old man was crucified. That which connected us to Adam is dead. We're not connected to him anymore. In Christ, all are made alive. In Adam, all die. I don't have death to face anymore. All I have is life. I have life in Jesus Christ. Now that represents me. And when we're talking about the mind and your mind, you still have a mind, that old mind, that left side. Do you know what it's filled up with? All that junk that I just read to you. Mark chapter 7, Romans chapter 1, verse 29. It's still there. You didn't get rid of it. We may control it, but you didn't get rid of it. One of the fascinating things is my mother had Alzheimer's. I never heard my mother swear. Never heard her use a harsh word. I want to tell you, she was like a I don't want to say a sailor, a drunk sailor, but I don't want to offend some of you. But, I mean, what she said was unbelievable. I couldn't imagine. I don't know where it came from. I know where it came from. It came from that old mind. She was filled up with it. Her old mind was filled up with it. It was controlled while she was in her right mind. But listen, at any moment in your life, that old mind could flare up. Ever happened to you? Did you ever really get mad? Do you ever get jealous? Do you ever envy? Hate? Oh my goodness. See, that's what's on the left side. That's what's in our mind on the left side. And you can't control it. Now, you might be able to manipulate it a little bit, and you might be able to hold it back a little bit, but it's always there. You can't get rid of it. You can't reform it. What God did is God gave us a new capacity, that right side of the mind, so that we can begin to think the right kind of things. But as I told you last week, when you become a born-again believer, at that moment you have a mind, but it's like a child's mind. It has nothing in it. It's empty. It needs some input. When a child is born, you have to take care of that child. You have to feed it. You have to change its diaper. You have to protect it. You have to watch over it. You give it a bath. You do all the things to take care of that child, and you begin to give them information. You begin to talk to them, and they begin, in a few months, they begin to murmur little things, and they don't make any sense, but they begin to grow. Their minds are beginning to develop, and they begin to say words. We talked about that, forming our viewpoint of life, the vocabulary, and then we're able to construct sentences, which gives us an idea. We're now changing things, and it gives us a viewpoint of life, human viewpoint of life. But that's the same thing that's true with the new mind. We want to cultivate that new mind so that it'll be able to think the right things. The old mind will always be bad. It'll always be blind. It'll always be foolish. It'll always be wicked. It'll always be deceitful. That's why we're called to walk in the Spirit, or to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought not to live on that left side. We ought to live on the right side. We ought to live through the power of God on the right side, not through the power of the old sin nature on the right side in our old minds. Are you all with me? The heart is filled up with all that garbage, that left side. You might be able to sort of control it a little bit, but it's always there. It'll flare up, given the right circumstances. Since it can't be changed, you see, what God's done is He's given us a new capacity so that it can change. This new capacity only receives truth. Let me repeat that to you. That right side will only receive truth. It will reject all garbage. I wish my computer was like that. Now we have some protections in our computers that we can, it'll stop some garbage from coming in. But the mind, that right mind, that right side, that intellect, God protects, and He'll only let the truth in. Now, where are you going to get the truth? Through the Word of God, all right? And it's a building process that's going to go on. I'm going to explain that a little bit. Will you turn to Romans chapter 12 with me? Romans chapter 12. I don't have that written, so you're going to have to write that in your notes. I don't have it down here. I didn't know where to put it, so... Paul writes these words in Romans 12, verses 1 to 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now notice, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. What he's talking about there is the right side. That right side needs to be renewed. I don't have an illustration. I've given you this illustration 1,000 times. I'll give it to you one more time. When I was young, pretty young, I had a car battery that went dead. And I got a push and I got it started. This is the old gear shift type of cars. And I drove it from my hometown, 11 miles away to Berwick, to buy a battery because we don't have batteries in my hometown. And I drove it to Berwick and I pulled in front of the American Auto Store. I don't even know if they exist anymore. I went in and I bought a battery. I went out and I put the battery in on the street, got it there, put it in, went in the car and turned it on and didn't do anything. It was dead. Now, I knew something. I knew that battery would hold a charge, which my old battery wouldn't do. I had to get a push. Once I got a push and I got that car started, it charged itself. It was renewing itself. The longer I drove it, the more it renewed. That's what God is telling us here. We need to have our minds renewed, all right? It needs to be charged up. It's empty when you're born again, but it needs to be charged up with the Word of God. You need to know the truth. And that mind will only accept the truth. I want to come back to that just a little bit later. Listen to me. It's not enough to suppress the old mind, to suppress that left side. It's possible to do that. It's possible to do that. It's possible for you to be here today and not have a renewed mind, but you're living off the old mind. You know some of the vocabulary. I mean, you know about the rapture, and you know about, and you have that in the old mind. You have that all set up. And you can talk like a Christian, and you may be a Christian, but it's not in the right side. It's on the left side. Because you haven't done what you need to do in order to have it put in the left or in the right side. I don't have this written down either. While I'm thinking about it, turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want to look at a couple of verses, just a couple very quickly. Verse 13. Well, let's just drop back. Verse 11. What knoweth the man? What man knoweth the things of man except the spirit of man? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what knoweth man... let me read it again. For what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God no man knows but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world but the spirit of God that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things we speak, not in words which men's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Spirit teaches, combining or comparing. The word means combining, bringing two things together. And he's bringing two things together. He's bringing spiritual things or spiritual thoughts or truth with a spiritual man. And so when you have a man who's walking after the Spirit, who is thinking the things of the Spirit, and the Spirit is teaching him, he has the Spirit in him, and the Spirit's teaching him, he's in his new mind, he's beginning to to form thoughts and ideas. He's sort of laying a foundation in that new mind. All right? You with me? It's important. I know I've gone over this 1,000 times, but I want you to understand this. It's so important. See, you have to take the steps. You have to take the steps. There are people that tell me, well, I don't have to go to church. I read the Bible myself. That's all right. You should read the Bible yourself. But you need a teacher. You have a Holy Spirit that teaches you. But in the church, God has established certain forms or ways in which He does things. And He's given to the church men and women who are able to communicate the truth in a way so that you can understand it. And you need to take those steps. A person ought to be in church on Sunday morning. He ought to be there to learn the truth. Someone ought to be explaining truth to him so that he can get it in that right side, so that he has a different viewpoint of life. If he's only living on the left side, he only has one viewpoint of life, and that's the world's viewpoint. It may be a religious type of thing, but that's the only thing he understands. He needs to structure his thought pattern. He needs to structure his thinking in a different way. And it needs to go in that right side. The right side only receives truth. That's all it will take. When he's receiving truth, what he's doing is he's forming a different viewpoint of life. The left side can only give you a human viewpoint of life. The right side will give you a divine viewpoint of life. It's not enough just to suppress your thinking, this anger or whatever it might be in you, whatever's in that old mind. If we simply reject a thought by sheer willpower, I'm not going to think about that anymore. I'm not going to curse anymore. And it's all by willpower, it doesn't do you any good. It controls your old nature, it controls the old mind, but it doesn't do anything to develop a different viewpoint of life. See, the mind is a vacuum. A child that's born in this world, it has nothing. He absorbs so much. He just like draws it all in. Sharon will vouch for this, and you that have taught school. You get a child in school, a young child, who really wants to learn. I mean, he just sucks it all in. He just wants to learn more and more and more. Well, our new minds are like that. It wants to take in the truth. But if you only work off the old side and you just try to hold back the old side without changing the new, the vacuum becomes greater and it doesn't do you any good. This doesn't help you at all. So what Paul does, I have Romans 12, 1 and 3 there. We already did that. But what Paul does in this verse, he's going to give us 6 adjectives of things that we ought to be thinking about in our new minds. All right? They're very important. There are 6 things. He introduces those 6 things with a little pronoun. I have it here. Well, yeah. Hosos. It's H-O-S-O-S. Hosos. Hosos. Hosos means it's a plural pronoun. It means everything or how do I say it? It means whatever. You know, your kids, if you have grandchildren or children and you tell them something, they say whatever. Well, that would be the word that they would use if they were back. If that's the word they would tell you back in the New Testament time. They say, "Hosos, whatever." What this means, so it's a plural, and each of these adjectives that we're going to look at are plural adjectives. And what he's saying, in essence, is that whatever is related to true, that the truth things. Whatever is related to true things, whatever is related to honest things, honesty, whatever is related to truth, whatever those might be. You need, your mind needs to be expanded. And whatever is true, whatever, how much all is involved in that, whatever is in your life that is true, that's what you ought to think about. You see, these two ladies in the church, they were living on that left side. They weren't thinking the right things. They weren't thinking about the truth. They weren't thinking about honesty. They were thinking about envy, anger, one up on you. See, how am I going to get the best of her? They weren't thinking the right things. And when you're not thinking the right things, then you begin a division. And these two women have caused a great division in the church. They need to change the way they think. They need to live not on the left side, they need to live on the right side. And they need to get the right thoughts in their mind. They need to concentrate on the things that are important in life. Their attitude towards each other was pitiful. Now, are there any questions before I move on? Because I have some other things I want to give you. I don't know that we'll get to them this morning, but a lot of things here in this verse that I want to go through. Any questions? Any clarity? Anything you want me to clarify? Yeah, Sharon? Where did I get it? Up here. When I started to develop this, I wanted to get something that I could put on for you to get an idea of what it's like. Not that I know of. No, I don't think so. I wouldn't go that far. All it is an illustration to try to help you understand what's happening inside of us. I mean, I have diagrams for all kinds of things, as you know. And each one of them are designed to try to help you to understand a little bit more of what's happening. Whether they're, you know, accurate to the degree that we, you know, on the right side of the brain and the right left side of the brain, I don't think so. They were just a general diagram to help you sort of formulate an idea of what's inside of us. That, all right, any others? I don't know the difference between the right side and left side, but anyway, I'm confusing you. You that are way ahead of me, I know. I'm back in kindergarten. You guys are up here in college. I'm in my right mind. What mind are you in? I'm sorry. Yes. All right. Well, yeah.
I think it makes sense to go
left. All right. Bonnie's saying this makes sense to go from left to right because that's the order of progression. You go, if you went the other way, it would be reversing the process. I know. You guys, you nurses are driving me crazy. I mean, I'm simple-minded. I have to have something down that I can see it. And it helps me. I hope it helps you a little bit, but if you read too much in it, then you're going to get confused. And I don't want you to read too much. Look at what I'm trying to tell you. There's a capacity in the mind to understand spiritual truth. Where it's at, I don't know. Whether it's in the front lobe, the back lobe, the left, the right side, but you have a capacity that God has given you to understand spiritual things. But you also have a mind that's corrupted and evil and deceitfully wicked. And how do I diagram that to show you? I also know that you have a capacity in the emotions. And everyone has some emotion. And they express that emotion in different ways. When you become a believer, there's new capacity of emotions. Now you can love to the fullest. You can rejoice. You can respond to people out of your emotions, that capacity within you. You have this capacity to look at things and come to conclusions. You have a will. Now that will, don't misunderstand, that will is not free. That will is always controlled by God. But it's there. I'm only trying to help you a little bit. Sometimes it's confusing, all right? All right, we want to, any other questions? Yes. Yes. God gives you the capacity of a new mind. See, if you go to a psychology book, you'll find that the personality is your intellect, emotion, and will. All right? I mean, that's pretty standard. Am I correct, ladies? They're all shaking their head. No, I don't know. I read that somewhere, and I thought it was a good idea. Anyway, you have this personality. When you become a believer, all right, something changes inside of you. You have the capacity now to understand spiritual truth. That to me is a mind, a new mind that God has given us. We also have a capacity now to love in a genuine way. The old is corrupted. It loves to get what it wants. It can be very emotional. It can be angry to get what it wants. It is a powerful tool. Some of you have children and they get angry and you give them their way. Some of them, you tell them no and they come and they put their arms around you and say, "I love you. Can I please go?" And you just melt in their arm. They melt. You just melt in their words and you give them their way. And there's that the emotion that's in us. Well, when God gives us, when we become a new creature in Christ, we are a new man. And what the old man was, we have a new man now. And what was the old man? What was his capacities? Well, he had a personality. He had a nature, a corrupted nature. When we become a new creature in Christ, we have this, we are a new man. And as a new man, we have new capacities. Not that he gives us a brand new mind, but it's a capacity within what we have somewhere up there in our head. He has gives us a new capacity in us that we can express emotion, true emotion. We have a new capacity now to make sound decisions on the basis of the truth that we know, just as we had in the old man. The old man is one thing. We're a new man now. What is that new man comprised of? Well, he's like the old man, but he's different. He's new. He's no longer corrupted. He now is a new man. And I look at that as that here's the old man. What made him? How did he become what he is? Well, he learned things. He expressed himself, and he grew up. And I find that true on the right side too. So that we're in a process of maturing, growing up. And God relates us to being children, to being young adults, and to being adults. And there's a progression that goes on. As believers, there's a progression that goes on. Where does that begin? It begins in the mind, just like it did in the mind of a naturally born child. And that's why I use those illustrations. I don't know how else I can do it and make it as simple as I can. You may have other better illustrations, I don't know. But I'm just trying to help you understand that you have the potential now to gain information, but it's by learning the truth. And when you learn the truth, that new mind begins to develop. I'm going to show you some other steps, and I don't have time this morning. Our time is up. But next Sunday, I'm going to go through how this new mind is developed so that it grows and is able to respond to the circumstances outside our life in a different way than we responded to circumstances before we had the capacity and before our new minds were energized or renewed by God, by the teaching of the Word of God. I have 30 seconds. Anybody have a question? A yes or no question. That's the only way I'll get 30 seconds out of it. I'm not trying to confuse any of you. I don't want to confuse you. I just want to try to make it as simple so that you begin to understand that there's a change inside of us. However you portray or understand that change, that's okay. This is my way of explaining it to you and trying to make it as simple as possible. I've used this for years. And some of you said, "There he goes again. He's done those old drawings again." But to me, they're still true. They're not truth. They're true in my perspective. From my perspective, they're true. And are helping me to communicate to you these truths that the Bible teaches us. Any questions? All right, let's close with a word of prayer. So, Father, we thank you again for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you mean to each of us, what you've accomplished already in our lives of teaching us and guiding us into the truth. And Father, we pray as we continue here on this earth that our minds might be occupied not with the things of this world, but the things which are from above. That our minds might be saturated with the word so that our viewpoint of life might change. That we might see things not from our side of this world, but from your side, so that we can enjoy what you've given us. So that we can have peace, the peace that passes understanding. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.